Welcome to the Women Faith Plus Business Podcast. I'm your host, Nadine Mullings. I'm an author, speaker, and marketing mentor. I believe in the importance of women of faith in business stepping up and shining in their lane so they can have the impact, influence, and income they were born to make. This season, join me for the Men of Faith in Business podcast takeover. Join me to hear the stories of powerful men of faith who are using their purpose-driven businesses to make a difference in the world. Welcome to this episode of the Women Faith Plus Business for the special season of the Men of Faith podcast takeover. I am super excited to have my next guest with me today, Jeffrey Ingram. He is a master certified life and leadership coach, author of The Power of One Leadership Playbook, an international motivational speaker, and the CEO and founder of I Create Inc. International, an organization devoted to the holistic cultivation, development, and empowerment of the next generation of the most creative and influential people who lead around the world. Whether he's coaching a CEO of a growing company, delivering one of the keynote addresses, workshops, and seminars in the US, Jamaica, and Bahamas each year, or training a team of leaders online, Jeffrey uses captivating energy and imagery from his experiences to masterfully create an environment that produces provocative, inspiring, and workable solutions to the many problems and obstacles people who lead face. People's minds and perspectives of who they are and what they can do or become are transformed and empowered to take a better handle of how they manage their lives and organizations. He and his wife, Nakoa, have devoted themselves to empowering families around the world through It Takes a Village Project, a 401c3 nonprofit organization they founded in 2013, whose mission is to engage, enrich, and empower families to have healthy relationships, successful careers, and balanced lifestyle. Welcome to the podcast, Jeffrey.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Yes. Thanks. Is there anything you want to share with the audience that maybe I didn't cover in your bio?
No, that was, I was listening to that like, wow.
I know, right?
Who is that guy?
When we hear other people read our bios, it's definitely, we start to get impressed with ourselves, right?
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But I do want to mention, because before we started the interview, you mentioned about your family, and I said how amazing that was. So I'd love for you to share about your family and your children.
Yes. So as the bio said, my wife and I, we are parentpreneurs, raising a family of 10. We have 8 children, and ranging age 2 to 19. Mm. And so, as we were saying, yeah, it's always a full time job.
Yeah, definitely. That's like a little company at home. 10 people, right?
It is.
In the company. Right.
Absolutely.
So that is awesome. So as you know, this podcast is all about faith plus business. So I always like to hear from everyone what their journeys have been like when it comes to business and faith, because it's so different. Everybody's journey is completely different. So I would love for you to share with the audience, what has your business journey specifically been like?
Wow. So my business journey started way back in. I was 14 years old. It was 98. And it started with me selling some candy bars. I got off the school bus. And it was a couple of friends of mine that gave me the candy. They said, hey, Jeff, go sell these and bring us back the money. And I thought for a second, like, why would I give them all the money? And so I I remember also at that point, you would go to the store, the gas station, and get the same candy bars for 3 for 99 cents. So I said, okay. So I took the candy bars, I sold the candy, but I rode my bike to the store and bought my own candy with it. And then I sold that candy, gave them their money back, and then I went back to the store. And that's really how like my entrepreneurial journey started. And I was aiming to buy shoes. I needed some for shoes for school. I was in eighth grade. What else does an eighth grader want? Shoes and video games, right? And so I was making probably about $30 to $50 a week, which wasn't it was I wasn't going to buy shoes anytime soon with that. So I got a job, and that was in January of 1999. I'll never forget it. But I was in eighth grade. I got the job, and so I started working at Dairy Queen while my mom and sisters ran my candy store at home. And so I had that going on, and I learned very quickly that businesses run on systems. Everywhere you go, there's a process, specific process that everything goes through, and that is how a business operates. I also learned that the people that make the most money are the people that have the keys. And so by that summer, I had got my first promotion. I was a trainer, so I was training new employees that were coming in, students that kids that were high school students. I was training them, teaching them how to do what they do, and that's how my career began. Ever since then, I've always been working or had a business, and I ended up moving into management. Well, by the time I was 19, 20 years old, I was management. It wasn't at Dairy Queen, but I was actually at a Quick Lube, and I became a store manager. My store was amazing. It was a great opportunity, great experience to do. But it was all still with the mindset of this: I'm going to run my own business, but I'm going to run these businesses and understand the systems that are in place, and how that stuff can be applied to just universally, what can be applied to different things. And so, that was management. I've been blessed to work in management operations, working in the food industry, opening Five Guys restaurants here in Atlanta. I worked as a manager for Foot Locker, one of the largest stores in the region here. And so it was. I've been blessed to work in those kind of spaces, but then I also been blessed in my career to work administratively as a youth pastor at a church, starting in 2013. And I learned leadership and business and the business of and system of how a church works and runs and operates. And so with those all co combined together, here I am, the person I am today. And all the whole time I was doing this, raising a family. And so my scope and understanding of business, it's always interwoven with family and faith in God as well.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that your story started at such a young age, around 14. I can relate so much to that story because I remember being in high school and my first endeavor was like candy grams, right? Having this idea to sell candy grams for an organization that I was in. So to know that your entrepreneurial journey started with candy, right? And to have that insight and intuition and knowledge that, hey, I could actually do this for myself. I can look at the profit margin and the money and buy this type of candy at the store myself and make this type of profit, and having that knowledge to then create a whole candy business, and having a goal in mind, knowing that this is what you're actually doing it for was to purchase a pair of sneakers. So you had a goal, you had a desire, you had a vision for what you wanted, and that drove you to start this business and to grow this business. And then, of course, turning to corporate America, getting the experiences that you needed to get from corporate America, and mainly understanding what I heard were three things: processes, systems, and management. And that experiences that you got from corporate America, the processes, knowing and understanding all business requires process, all business requires systems, and that people skills, that management was what you really cultivated and learned in the time that you were in corporate America. And of course, that experience experience helped you to then launch your own business and do your own thing. So I love that your business journey included all those aspects. And of course, at the forefront was your family and your faith, you know, as you went through your business journey. So that really is a great inspiration and definitely a lot we can take out of your business journey. So what would you say your faith journey has been like? Because, you know, becoming a believer in Jesus Christ looks different for everybody, too. You know, what that journey looked like. So I'd love for you to share, you know, more about your faith journey. What did that look like?
Okay. So my faith journey started when I was really young. I grew up in church. And so some of my earliest memories, I was at church. I mean, like sleeping on the pews, you know, standing in front doing Easter speeches, you know, singing in the choir. Like that was what it was growing up. And when I became a teenager, I was kind of like, I don't really connect with, or there's a lot of like the human side of Christians. My eyes were getting open to the human side of the Christian journey. You know, and the people in their humanness, I consider them like hypocrites and stuff like that. So I was like, let me leave this church stuff alone. That was all at the same time when I started working. Actually, like my job was kind of my segue to, well, I have to work on Sunday kind of thing. And that was kind of my shoot out. And so that's like by 15, 16 or so. It wasn't like I hated God or anything like that, but I was like, you know, I want to experience life. And so, but by, I thank God that I have a praying mother. I was raised, my dad's, my grandmother. I'm glad because I didn't get too far. Never let me get too far. I remember I moved out. I moved into my first place. Actually, moved into my first place when I was 19, right after I turned 19. And I had already my daughter, I had already had my first child before I graduated high school. So I was a teen dad, and I remember I was in my own place in 19, and I kind of ran into this kind of ceiling in life. I remember I was like, I had my own apartment. I had a brand new car, had big TV back then. This was like 2003. I had 32-inch TV surrounded. Like I was doing it, right? In essence, on the outside. But just inside, I thought, like, I figured this out. So what am I gonna do the rest of my life? Like, I find myself in that, asking that question, what am I? Because like I've mastered this part of it, you know? And I remember it's only God, but there's a Bible in my apartment. I don't remember. I hadn't thought about a Bible. I remember I got a Bible for like a graduation gift, but that Bible, I so happened to look up and the Bible was there. And so I said, God, you know what? I want to know if you're real. Like, I really want to know if you're real. I really want you to show me how to live. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability because that's just how I do everything. And that way I'll know if you're real or not. I'll know if it's just those people or if what the deal is. And I know for myself. And I never forget, like that was when it became a very real thing. My journey, or very better yet, my quest, this quest of understanding why God sent me here. That's really where it began. And throughout my life and where I'm at now, as I said, I've served in ministry. I've worked in multiple capacities of ministry, literally multiple capacities. And as a youth pastor, I became ordained as a youth pastor back in 2011. And that took my faith into another direction, because it was about having an understanding enough that I could teach others and be a guide to others in their journey and in their walk with God and understanding from my own experiences growing up and life and all those things. I said, God, how could I be what I needed? I wish I could. What would I have needed back in that time and that space? And that was a very pivotal time in my life and my faith, because it wasn't really just about the theological doctrinal themes anymore. I thought it would be, but that's when I learned that ministry is it really is translate to service and to serve people in a way that they need to be served is really the epitome and what Jesus Christ, what he was the epitome of, you know, that we're all here. He sent us here. God created the earth. He created the systems of the heavens, right? And he created the earth, which has systems in place and everything in place set up perfectly. And then he created man in his image and likeness to have dominion, to dominate this space that's here. And so we all have a reason, a purpose to be here and to be as God would be here. You know, and that was always what Adam's assignment was. That's what Christ coming back was to be the example of that. And so I evolve and help. How can we help really be a body and help make sure people are whole? Myself personally, I had life experiences. That time I had been married already for multiple years. It was a different kind of thing. And so that kind of put our life, our whole life in another direction. Because it's like, how can I apply all of our experiences to what you want me to be here for? And my wife, what do you want us to be here? How do we serve? So even in our church we were at, we totally like changed structure administratively of how we were operating. We were here to support the parents and the families that were there. The parents are the ones that have the responsibility to teach their children. And so how can we pivot into how can we support you, our brothers and sisters? We're the church. We're not the tell all, but how can we be a support to you, you know, as a body? And we got to understand, became acquainted with people and our brothers and sisters in another way. So it's my evolution have evolved in so many ways. It's still evolving, you know, from there, our company I Create was born from that assignment there. To help empower families and empower leaders, people to become and walk into influence, the creative abilities that God gave us all to be and do. And so it's my faith has been ever evolving. And that was 9 years ago. And so we're actually getting ready to celebrate our 10th anniversary next year. This year is our 9th anniversary. So it's still evolving. I've worked with a lot of pastors. I went to seminary school, learned leadership on a theological, perspective. And so how my understanding of just who God is, how he wants us to be, it's been a great one, but it's been interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely a journey. And that's why the question was, what has your faith journey been like? Yeah. Because it's a process, as you mentioned, and it's evolution. You know, I hear a lot of people on the podcast say that they started in the church at a very young age and kind of drifted from the church. It's almost like a natural thing. So many people drift. And I love that you shared about, you know, the human side of the church. You know, a lot of people will call that, you know, experiencing church hurt sometimes. Understanding that there are human beings in the church and they're going through whatever they're going through. They're not perfect, right? And so seeing that human side and maybe being disappointed from that human side or getting hurt from that human side and making a decision to leave. And conveniently for you, you're like, well, I'm working on Sunday, so I can leave because I got something else to do. So see you guys. And then you decided, you know, to kind of drift for a minute. But God is so personal and so relational that it wasn't just coincidental that you had a Bible in your apartment. It was for a reason. He was drawing you back to him. You know, absolutely. God is a God of intimacy. If we truly study in the very beginning before sin was in the earth, God desired intimacy with Adam and even was in the garden with them, you know, consistently, you know, so he loves intimacy and relationship. And so he draws you with that intimacy and his word and really drawing you into that relationship. And then, as you mentioned, the evolution of what that then created as a pastor and seminary and, you know, ministry and all the work that you're doing now with your wife. So it definitely is a journey and it's definitely an evolution and we're all growing in this thing called faith. So there were a lot of great points that you mentioned that I'm sure a lot of people can relate to. So as you know, this podcast is about faith and business. So how would you say you combine your faith and business? And is it something that you openly do? Is it something that you feel is private? Or what was that process for you about combining faith and business?
That's a great question. So at this juncture, my business now, it was a natural evolution. It naturally kind of happened because I was at a point in ministry where I saw that there was so much more than God showed me. Like it's more my body. It was like this. I had a dream, a vision, and it was like we were walking through a science lab. You know how the science lab, they have the tall tables and they have the beakers on the tables, and it was people at each little station there, and they were, you know, examining it. And I saw that in the beakers, it was like body parts, like a finger, like an eye or nose or things like that. And God was like, this is my body right now. The people gather around particular parts of my body and are amazed at studying individual parts of my body, but they have no clue what that thing is, what it is, when everything's together. When if that the hand was connected together and with the wrist and seeing blood flow and seeing just really the potential of it, you'll never see the potential of it in that way. And so he said there are people that have a purpose in ministry that's not in a pulpit. Their pulpit is not in a church on Sunday morning. And so with what I was teaching you, I want you to go and help other people, help be support to them and give them the support and resources that they need to really walk in what they are sent here to walk in and do, or to serve the people that they're sent here to serve with excellence. And so we didn't put it necessarily under a ministry, but it's as a company started as a nonprofit. And we're just like, let's make sure we can just get out to people. So we did events, community events. We did workshops and seminars to bring people together to talk about leadership. We work with schools to talk about leadership and really how leadership is really a life skill. And it boils, as John Maxwell said, it boils down to influence. And I realized that everybody has influence. That's a part of being a human, is having influence, having the ability to influence or impact reality as we know it. Just our presence impacts reality. And so if people could understand and become more intentional about how they lead, how they use their influence, the type of human that they're being, they could be intentional about that, the world would be in such a different place. And so, and with it, we've been able to, we've worked with people literally around the world, different religions, different scopes, different perspectives of life, but all of it all centers all around our Creator gave us a purpose. We're all here and with a purpose and abilities, and we're sent here to use those in a certain way. And we help you, we'll help you do that. In whatever way it is, holistically, I mean, like the whole person, so spiritually, mentally, physically, but also socially, as well as professionally. And so to help really, if we can help people in those ways. And so it's kind of interwoven into our business now. And so we've branched off throughout the years. We've created an online learning platform through our curriculum, the Power of One Leadership Academy, but where we teach leadership skills, life skills, professional skills. But it's all centered around, again, being a whole person and becoming who God sent you to be. The power, as Ephesians 3:19, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us. And so we help people in that space. As an agency, we provide consulting and agency support to people who are growing businesses, launching businesses or ministries. So we help them as the people, but then also operationally as well, with marketing, sales, whatever capacities they need, with systems, tools that's necessary. So to become really a whole solution, whole support. And so we help, again, the person, is leading, that person that's actually growing, and the people that they are, that they're leading, the leaders that they're training as well, so that they can be who God sent them to be. And then the business and the ministry does what God's intention of it was.
Uh-huh.
And ultimately, heaven is here on earth through us. So.
Yeah, I love that. And I love how it started with a dream, a vision. You know, a lot of people have said on the podcast that they experienced a vision or a dream, and that powerful vision of body parts, you know, just imagining being in a lab with these body parts. I think initially I would think it's not a dream, but a nightmare. It's like, oh my gosh, why is this finger here? Why is this nose in a container? That's so weird, right? But it was obviously an analogy, you know, of the importance of the parts of the body and the importance of the body as a whole, and everyone having purpose was what the dream was explaining to you. So I love that, you know, that God spoke to you in that way through a dream, which actually leads me to my next question, because, you know, as a believer and as believers, one of the key things that we're always looking for is hearing God's voice, right? Mm-hmm. Knowing that this is not just something coming from me, my idea, what I think is good, is not just a good idea, but this is actually a God idea, right? This is a God thing. And the way that we understand that or discern that is really hearing God's voice. Amen. So I would love for you to share with the audience, and I think you've already given us an example through the dream, but how God speaks to you. How do you hear God's voice and know that this is God and not just my own yearning or desire or want to do this for my business in the marketplace?
Huh. How do I know? Well, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I don't. My relationship with God has evolved to a state of trust. And okay, God, I really want to serve you. Like within my self. That is really, you know, He knows our hearts, He knows the intentions of our hearts. And I've done a lot of work. He's helped me. He's forced me. But I won't say the key word. He forced me to do a lot of work on me, to where my communication with Him has evolved, and to where my awareness of how my Father, our Creator, speaks so many ways. But there is a common thread that I've noticed and discovered that helps me to understand and hear His voice in all the different phases of our journey. You know, there's seasons to all things. There's a season. And in some seasons, nothing is going to grow, no matter what you do. Some seasons, God's not going to speak necessarily. But it's really about, when He did speak, what did you do with it? It was already spoken to prepare you for this next juncture you're about to walk into, and understanding it like that, understanding this walk as a journey or as a quest with multiple journeys, I pray without ceasing, not necessarily. Hands closed, hands, you know, not that, but it's a continual communication with God. God, be with me, guide me, show me how, show me what to do in ways that are tangible for me, so that I can know, hey, no, don't do that. Or you know, but it's been an evolution of my intimacy with my Creator versus the rule book, or going through, this is what they said to do, and this is what you do, and expect in that space. It's become more of a, I walk with God. Me and God are walking together, and I'm intentional to walk with Him, not get too far in front of Him, not get too far, but to be there with it. And again, a lot of times, sometimes I hope a few turns ago I heard the right thing.
Right.
Because where I'm at does not look anything like where you say we're going.
Right.
And He always sends reassurance that even if we make our bed in hell, as they say. Even if we make our bed in hell, that he's with us. There's no place that he's not with us. And to just listen and listen in a different way.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you start off by being honest. Sometimes I don't know, because that is a real thing. You know, you didn't come out and say, well, the way it always works is it's like, look, I don't know sometimes. That is the reality of this journey. We do it. We think that's it. We think it's the right thing, but we serve a God that's so just that he knows how to course correct, right? We just trust in him. He knows our heart. He knows our desire. He knows that we desire to serve him, and he knows we're human and we're going to make mistakes, right? So thank God we serve a God that even when we may not hear his voice, he's able to course correct us and get us back on path. So I'd love for you to share with the audience maybe an example where you felt like, okay, this was a course correction. This was actually, I thought I heard a word from God. I've been doing this thing, but God was like, screech, let's turn this boat around, right? It's almost like when you're listening to your GPS and it says recalculating, right?
Yeah.
So can you share with the audience maybe a time where you felt like you had to course correct or God recalculated for you when what that looked like for you?
Yeah, sure. I call it a reset. Those resets, right? And 2022 has been one of those seasons. It's been one of those months. Not necessarily that it was a bad thing, but it's part of the journey. There are some things this new season. Matter of fact, I remember in October of 2021. I remember we were getting ready to celebrate our ninth or our eighth anniversary of our company. And I remember it was a lot of stuff going on kind of around that time of year and stuff. And I remember God saying, okay, it's time for a reset. I remember hearing kind of vaguely, and I didn't know what that meant. Our business was one of the best. We had one of the best years ever last year that we ever had. And it was, life was good and everything. And God said, okay, great. Now, next season kind of is going to be now I'm going to slow all that stuff down. Because there's something more, something you have to learn that's in this neighborhood, right? That this is just so, you know how you're driving on the streets. Speaking of GPS, sometimes it's just a sharp curve, right? And a sharp curve, that this is where you need to go here now. In it reminded me, he's taught me a lot of things. He's taught me a lot of things about, again, our journey, about even the time, those seasons, and just speaking about it, like David, I call it the time when you have to go into the cave. You know, we find ourselves in those dark spots and dark places. It's cold, it's not comfortable. And you ask God, what am I doing in here? What happened? What I do wrong? It's all kinds of stuff going on at those times. But I've learned, discovered that that's also a part of the journey. Biblically, throughout the Bible, so many people ended up living in caves for a while. You know, but it also represents a time of rebirthing. So as you were saying, like, that's a time of God protecting. There's never a point in time where God, like, shunned those people. He provided for them, King David. His army, he actually became the general of an army in the cave. Said there were 400 men that were discontented and in debt, and their families all came to live with him in that cave. So it's very interesting how they look for each of us, though. And each time we go into one of those ones, it's kind of different. But he'll slow things down. He slows things down, just slows it down or puts a halt to it.
Yeah.
It's the trial of our faith. And sometimes it's because I took that swerve. But again, I don't really know. It's like, okay, Lord, I thought I was doing right. But I'm so grateful for grace that's there for us in those times.
Yeah. Definitely. I love how you called that course correction a reset, right?
Yeah.
Those seasons and times where even when things are great, like you said, it could be like you had the best year ever. I did the same thing, 2021. I 4X my business. It's like, woo, we are on the mountaintop. And now I feel like I'm in a season of rebranding. It's like, okay, I
Yeah.
went from the mountaintop and now you're saying now I need to rebrand and do something different.
Yeah,
So,
yeah.
yeah, it's definitely about hitting that big reset button and course correcting for the season that God has you in for now. Because, like you said, it's seasonal and you're only supposed to be in certain places for a certain time, right? And once that time is up, God is like, you're on to the next thing. You're on to the next assignment or the next thing that He
Yeah.
had desires for you to do. So, it definitely is a reset. So there are two signature questions that I ask every guest on every episode, on every season, and it's kind of a
Okay.
signature question for the podcast. And the first signature question is, how would you define the power of faith? How would you define the power of faith?
Oh. How do I define the power of faith? Okay, so faith is defined as the substance of things that are hoped for, but also evidence of things that's not seen. So faith is the non-tangible evidence of something that could be. Matter of fact, doesn't even could be, that exists, but just not in material form, right? The confidence in that. Okay. And so we talk define the power of that, the power of having faith, confidence in things that are not seen is limitless. It's infinite. As a matter of fact, it's a superpower that us as humans have. God's given us that, because literally whatever we believe in our heart, don't doubt, it becomes, it is. It's actually like even a tangible kind of thing. Like they've measured it. I've discovered, if you've heard of the placebo effect. Placebo effect is where, and if you believe, or people, they believe particular pill, or not even pill, people have done studies of, it doesn't have to be pill, like anything, belief of something, that it produces a real life tangible result in your body and in life around. But we learn about that in the Bible with the woman with the issue of blood. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, that's all. It's not even necessarily Jesus, but just if I could touch the hem, it's something about him, and touch him, HIM, but right. But it's the confidence in that. It's always been about faith. And so the power of it is, oh, I said it's limitless. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, I love that. The power of faith is limitless. Just the confidence and the belief that something that we haven't seen yet, we can actually manifest, right? It can actually come to life because of faith and how powerful that really is. It's really the power of faith. So I love that definition for the power of faith. So, how would you define the power of business?
Oh. Okay. So, the power of business, how I define it. So I work with we have a student leadership program, and through our nonprofit, and we partner with organizations. We partner with an organization called Youth Entrepreneurs. We taught students entrepreneurship, business skills. Help them launch businesses, things like that. And they taught a definition of entrepreneurship that changed my life, and I think it will apply to this here. But the definition of an entrepreneur is someone who solves problems for profit. Okay? Someone who solves problems for profit. And so every business solves a problem for a specific group of people, for a profit, even if it's a nonprofit, but there's some profit on the backside of it. Something is gained from it. Okay. And so the power of business is the power, I think about it like this: the power of an organization that is solving a problem for people, for profit, especially if the people that are solving the problem, what they do with the profits makes it a double. So first of all, you solve problems for people. So it's a service of people. Depending on what even service that business provides is, man, it's limitless. Elon Musk, he wanted to provide a service to allow people to drive cars, electric cars, and it's changing the world, right? Sam Walton started Walmart with a mission to lower the cost of living for his customers. Look at where they are now. So it's really no telling like how far the power of a business could be, especially if the leaders are believers, servants, followers of Christ. Man, it's no telling. It's no telling what a business could do.
Yeah, I love that. The power of business is really solving problems for people and for a profit, and how powerful then turning that profit into something that also gives back to the marketplace and also gives back to the community can be when believers have businesses. That's is right. What I heard.
That's
the
right.
power of business really
That's
is.
Right.
That's so right. This has been a really great conversation. I have enjoyed it, and definitely,
yes, it
definitely would love if people want to learn more about the amazing work that you do in the world. What is the best way for them to connect with you?
Sure, the best way, we're actually in the rebranding right now ourselves. So our whole website is being rebranded, but they can go to our website right now, and there is a spot where they can leave their email address. And that way we can keep them updated. And our website is www.icreateleadership.org. Okay, www.icreateleadership.org. They can follow us online on social media. Me personally, I am the GEOFF Ingram, the Jeff Ingram. And our company is at iCreate Inc. ATL. So at the Jeff Ingram and at iCreate Inc. ATL. Follow us. We're there. Definitely reach out. I would love to hear the other stories of the other people that are in business and using their faith and do it. Like, anyway, we could be a support to you and the community. It's an amazing opportunity.
Awesome. I so appreciate that. Thank you so much for sharing your story and sharing everything. And definitely connect with him through his website, through social media. Definitely connect with Jeffrey. Thank you so much for being a guest on the Men of Faith Takeover for the Women Faith Plus Business Podcast.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an amazing experience. Yeah, this is great.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Women Faith Plus Business Podcast. I hope this episode has not just given you information you can use, but was insightful and inspirational. Wherever you are listening, be sure to subscribe to get the next episode, or go to womenfaithandbusiness.com to join our email list. Plus, if you would like to discover 3 powerful ways to attract the people you are called to serve in the marketplace so you can make the impact, influence, and income you were born to make, be sure to text POWERFUL to 404-982-4736. That's 404-982-4736. 4736.